Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Caribbean Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. You're here today with Bro Blue and me, MHL. Just want to welcome you on this Saturday evening. And our topic today will be, is Jamaica really independent? And we're looking at other things such as, are Rastafarians barred from school? What about what's happening in the U.S. and the coronavirus? And incarceration of Jamaican entertainers. So our main host is Bro Blue. Brother Bro Blue,
We have a show lineup for you this evening. We're going to be looking on Rastafarians being barred from Jamaican schools. And we're going to look on some of the, happenings over the week with the coronavirus. And Jamaican entertainers being locked up, sent to prison. Currently, we have a little kid in lockup. I mean, I say kid, I mean as a grown man. We're talking about Tommy Lee Sparta. We're just going to be looking on some of the, why do these people, they have living really good lives, and they choose to swap that for a prison cell, I don't know,
yes.
What's the problem, we are, and also we're looking at the independent situation in Jamaica. Are we really independent, there's some questions that I'm going to be asking this afternoon, and I hope that we can have a good conversation, people joining in and putting their two cents. Because I'm willing to learn, from others, if they have ideas that are, that I don't know, Somebody may come pull something out of the hat. All right, so you can call in.
Yes.
Give them a number, call, Marjorie.
Yes. Call 661-467-2407. So that's 661-467-2407. So you're welcome. Go ahead, Bro Blue.
Very well.
Very good. And it's very hot in London. Not too sure what's going on in the US, but it's like Caribbean type temperatures around here now. So people are really enjoying it. Yeah, definitely.
Wow. I mean, in the U.S., we're still having heat over here. The heat is on. It's still, politically and weather-wise, heat is on. The election is in the air, man. Yeah. Man's going on for the White House. So what's happening in London?
Yeah, man, apart from the heat wave and people just out shopping and going to the beach and then going for walks and so on, it's pretty chill, you know. People are happy here when it's sunny, because you know we have rain all the time. So when it's sunny, everybody start taking off their clothes and all of that. You know what I mean? Stripping back.
Oh yeah.
Ooh. Showing the bare chest. Yeah, lots of short shorts and short skirts and men are wearing no shirt and all that's going on now. So as you know, we're not sure how long it's gonna last, but when it comes out, they really enjoy it over here. They really appreciate the heat and the sunshine.
Yes. I want to tell you something. One of the strangest sights, I would say strange, but it looks a little peculiar, was one day it was overcast, and the sun came out, and if you see the amount of people that was, you know, that were in Trafalgar Square just hanging out, and we were going to the park, you see everybody just hang out, you know, because of the little sun. And they were there for just a little time until it starts getting overcast again.
Yes.
So, you know, I imagine that when you get a little sun up there, you know, a little vitamin D, take advantage of it. Yes.
Definitely. We do that here. We do. And we're quite used to having four sort of seasons in one day as well, as you know. Having lived here yourself, you know, it's one morning, it could be a bit rainy, then it becomes sunny, then it feels like spring, then it goes back to winter.
Yeah.
It's just like that, just one day, you know. So it's holding on to the sunshine right now. So we can appreciating that. Yes.
So all the virus.
Man, the virus is still here, but they're trying their best, you know. So hopefully schools will reopen. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Colleges will reopen and so on. So we'll see. Yeah, we're hanging on. It's not too bad, but we have to be careful. Because every now and then they may have to lock down a particular area. But generally,
you think you can get them little ones to wear a mask and keep them on?
Well, you know, I went into a shop today, and I got in a shop, and nobody had on a mask, just myself. And I suddenly got very indignant, and I was like shouting out to the shopkeeper and saying, "What's going on? Has the coronavirus gone?" And he said, "No." And I went, "Well, why aren't people wearing masks?" And the shop went so quiet. And then I went quiet, and I went, "You know what, Marjorie? People come up here and start beating you, okay?" So when they were all gone, I said to the shopkeeper, "Why don't you just add a pound to their bill and hand them a mask?"
Yeah.
Because obviously they probably can't afford it. And the shopkeeper just laughed and said, "Add a pound." Some of them actually owe me money when they pay their bills, so I don't know how I'm going to add a pound to the bill. Yeah, but in the supermarket, people were more disciplined. People were wearing their masks. They were social distancing and so on. That was good. Pardon me?
You think the mask helps?
I think it helps in a sense, because I think some people are just naturally dirty anyway, so they need to cover their mouths and their noses, to be honest. Regardless of the virus, you know, I'm not joking. So I think it makes a difference. And if you can't social distance, it makes a difference, I think. You know, so for the time being, until I know otherwise, I think wearing a mask is respectful. Because some people are actually, they have, you know, underlying health conditions, and they need us to wear the mask to help to protect them from getting sick. Yes, in Clarendon, I heard. Is it Clarendon?
Yeah,
gone back on lockdown again. How many people are dead now? Is it 12? 12 persons have succumbed to the virus? 12, I think it's 12
dead?
Persons. 13. 13 persons 13. Have succumbed. Yes, and it says 59 cases in the last 48 hours and so on. There's some stigma going on in St. Thomas, yes. So the actual contagion, people getting, you know, the COVID is increasing. Fortunately, it's still keeping the numbers of death quite low. But that's because they're vigilant, you know. And we can't afford to have it get much higher than that, because the healthcare system probably can't cope with too many of those.
That would have been a tragedy if you have a lot of people running on the health system, you know.
Yes.
Yeah, that would have been a tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
But Yeah, on the bright side, I would have been curious to find out how did Jamaica celebrate their independence.
Oh, you missed it. You missed the online program. It was streaming live on YouTube. I think it was Thursday.
Yeah, I think
I sent you the link, but you probably missed it. It was wonderful. I must say,
yeah.
I did enjoy the earlier era much more than I did the latter, because you know the songs from like people like Tiger and all those people, the real good old fashioned reggae and ska and soul. I really enjoyed that era. I wasn't overly keen on the latter part where they're dealing like with the newer music and stuff. And this is where maybe you can touch on the entertainment.
What do you mean by it?
I mean, like the music that has been out since the 20s, since the 2000s, those kind of music.
The one of the guys, them go over the mic and scream.
Yes.
You know, I am Jamaican. I speak Patois, and I can't understand a word.
I'm telling you, it's so a bit much. So I, on a whole, it was wonderful. But I think we have to touch on this whole thing about the incarceration of Jamaican entertainers. And I think you were saying to me off air that they are no longer musicians. You know, and we want to talk about that, be good.
It seems to me, you know, this is what I am beginning to see, you know, that there are a lot of people who are indicted, you know, a lot of indictments on artists in the business.
Mm-hmm.
And what I am getting from this is that a lot of them come from inner city areas.
Yes.
And they come with other people. You know, with characters that are not really the ones that we really would really embrace.
Right.
You know, but they come with them. But what I'm getting also is that these are the ones that give these entertainers eminence. Because
when they
make the money and they move up into the affluent areas with the more with those people up there. They feel out of place, you know, because those people up there don't embrace them as the ones where they're coming from.
Yes.
So they live up there, but they still go back down into the former areas, put it that way.
Yes.
You know, and they would go back down there and they would be there with them and so forth. So they emerge really as so-called leaders. And
right.
It seems to me that translates itself into the what they call on the street, the danship.
Yeah, yes.
That these
yes.
people are now being looked up to for some form of leadership. Yeah. Now,
yes, and people,
rather than taking that and putting it into a positive way, a lot of them, I understand, take it and put it into a negative light.
Right.
You know,
right.
And then they're more or less the unsavory ones. Are the ones who they really cling to,
mm-hmm.
you know, and yeah, and then these guys now get themselves involved in all sort of criminal activities. So
mm-hmm.
hence you see, you know, a lot of them. But I can't understand, you know, why would somebody? Do you really have to feel so much like a social dwarf, like you're mm-hmm. nobody? To really go back, you know, remember, you know, where you're coming from. These are not people who will ever buy a ticket from you. They'll never buy a ticket from
right.
you to come to your concert. You
yes.
know, they are more or less asking you for a ticket.
Right.
So what can they really do for you? You know, I'm not saying that you must abandon your people. You know, but what are they really doing for you that you can sacrifice a career for a prison cell? You know, for these people.
Yeah.
I think that when you come from there, the best thing that you can do for them is not to go back.
Yes, I agree with you.
And to stretch a hand and take them out of it.
Right.
Rather than going back. and then, you know, and then go back into, I would probably call that Agbota. You know, you go back down there. You don't go to stretch a hand. You go to, you know, to join them.
That's true. I think it's, go ahead.
Yeah, and then you get involved in all this sort of, you know, again, unsavory activities.
Yeah, because the thing is that if they move uptown, I mean, they could experience social isolation. As you said, they're not necessarily accepted by the people where they live.
Yeah.
But as you said, I think maybe they're going to have to just take their time and find new association. As you said, go back and help the people out of the ghetto. Don't go back and sit with them and let them drag you down. And then you're in prison and they're still free. Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
When you have
but
that
I'm wondering, I'm wondering if there's a sense of inferiority. You know,
definitely.
That they feel when, you know, when they are, when they move
there because,
out.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
You know, they feel a sense of inferiority. You know, because sometimes, you know, people want to bend a crowd to suit them rather than the crowd bending, than they are bending for the crowd.
Right.
You understand? So, you know, anybody who has this, this feel, this social dwarf feel, you know, this social midgetry, I would call it, you know.
Right.
You know, they tend to always want to have the crowd bending to them.
You know,
or they become withdrawn, they come, you know, out of it. You know, that's how I
feel. I know that there are so many good people all over the world in different, you know, rich and poor situations. But I remember once I went with my friend to drop off her son and her son's friend. They both went to they were both sixth formers at a public high school, and we got close. We're close by where you had at Bellevue on Winwood Road there, Winwood Road. And we're gonna turn to drive in, and he said, "Miss, don't drive down there. It's like a ghetto." I said, "Why not? We can drive you down, and you don't have to walk." He said, "No." He said, "I know where I live," and he said, "A lot of bad men, the people live down there, they would hurt you. Just leave me on the main road," and I walked down. I was shocked. I was thinking to myself, my God, at least this is pure honesty from a young man about 16 years old. And that's the thing, when you leave the ghetto, it's not that you're looking down on people, you have to preserve yourself. You don't want to end up, as you said, being an entertainer and then you're incarcerated because you don't know when to sort of cut the navel string. And then, you know, you're separate, but, you know, at the same time, you're going to go back and help. You're going to give scholarships to people, to uplift people, and bring in care packages for people. But don't be hanging out all day long. You want to be able to make your money and make a difference. Now you're in prison. How are you going to do it now you're in prison? How are you going to help them now you're in prison? Make any sense?
Well, so how you have a good life. You have an affluent life going on. It is something that you struggle, that you have always wanted. Something that you take time, you build.
Yes.
Right? And then you turn around and swap that for a prison cell. I think you understand that. I believe there is some psychosis about that.
It's possible. And sometimes the rise in the fame and the money doesn't match the maturity of the person either. You know, sometimes they're still immature. They're still, it's not caught up. You know, are you not given any guidance by people in the industry? Now, this is how you should live your life or whatever. I don't think they have any sort of mentoring scheme for these young people coming through and making quick success. You know, because with that kind of success, you need a certain level of thinking and being and doing. So all of these kind of things need to be addressed to prevent it happening again and again and again. We want to take care of our people.
Let me say this, though. You see the Jamaican woman, it happens in the United States as well. But I think that, you know, I'm looking on black women because these are the only ones I know, black women.
Right.
And I think that you have some black women that are the dumbest thing on the planet. And believe you me, let me tell you why. They believe that men killing a child is money. So if the father doesn't have any money, he mustn't come there.
Right.
And they keep away the child from the father. not knowing that, you know, one of the one of the most valuable thing in growing up a child, you know, is to have that, is to build morals, you know, and to get that child to develop such a self-esteem that them, you know, that they feel good about themselves, and so, you know, they don't see, they will never find it fit to do anything to hurt, you know, hurt the family or the, you know, the family name or whatever.
Well, so, you know, I'm gonna, go ahead. I'm gonna disagree with you. On
they, so what they do all the time is chase away the father. So a lot of these little boys come up. You know, a little boy. I have my big sons in and I hug them up and I call them and say, "Come here, hug them and kiss them." But I'm foreign, right? Big old man, I mean, there's a big man, I mean, big old man. I mean, still out there and kick, but I'm married, right?
Yes.
I mean, I hear them with his homophobia business and all that sort of stuff. Because, they just have a problem with the male figure, but yet still they're the same ones who do male bonding. You know that?
Yes. Yeah.
So I don't know, but there are some things that are happening, if that we need the father figure back in the womb. And I think that
definitely.
We need the father figure back. We need a male back in the house.
Definitely, that would make a difference.
And another thing again, the downside of that is that some of these guys, you know, when they leave, they believe that any time the mother reach out to them. It means that, you know, it's a white flag to come back.
Yes, true.
No. And what men should understand is that you should focus. When your relationship is over, you should now begin to focus on your children.
Yes,
the woman, she doesn't exist anymore.
Okay,
you,
but the thing is,
focus on your kids,
listen though, you said black women are dumb, and I'm going to actually refute that. It's not that black
women
are dumb.
No. I wouldn't say black women are dumb. I don't mean that in a broad sense. What I mean is that for those, a lot of women I know, and I said they are black, doesn't mean that black women are dumb. I'm saying the ones that I know. Because
right.
I've not been going around Indians and white people and
Chinese. Good, okay.
So I'm just speaking from that perspective. So
well,
you have to keep chasing away the fathers, and that's stupid. That's dumb.
Okay, well listen
you
now.
Know,
I agree with
you. Guy, what you allow him to pick up his children or his child and take it
yes.
away and bring it
but
back.
Listen. Yes, I agree. A father's love is underrated, grossly underrated, and we definitely need to build better family structures because the family is definitely the first and most important institution. It is a foundation upon which all other foundations are built. Now, the thing is, for me, I would say what black women need to do is stop giving these men children before they have a ring on their finger. A serious man puts a ring on a woman. Hold on one second. So for me, when you say women chase the men, I'm going to say the men chase themselves. It's too easy to start a relationship. A child is born. People have arguments and people walk away. When you are married, you don't walk away so quickly and so easily. You just don't. Yes?
Sorry.
So I believe that we should change. No, I'm telling you. We should change the way we are doing this thing. We need to make sure that people don't start having kids in their teens, even early 20s. Make sure at least you have a job, a stable career, and you're settled in what you're doing. When you're more stable financially, if you choose to get married or not, that's different. But now you have a case where too many young people, too many teenage pregnancies, it's a lot of instability to begin with. So if you have that foundation that you are secure by yourself, taking care of yourself as a black woman and a black man, when you come together now, this is where you have this biblical principle. One person can chase 2,000, but two people together can chase 10,000. Five times as much. You can achieve so much more together. Now, if for any reason the relationship breaks down and you have children in that relationship, The woman went in financially stable. The man went in financially stable. And that way, you know, as a woman that is stable financially won't feel the need to chase a man or for a man to disappear willingly. It's a different dynamics now you're dealing with. So, yes, I do agree that they it's underrated, the need for men in the homes and so on. But I know the time is going, you know, Roblu, and I want us to touch on some of the things we're going to discuss. I want to look at the
This is important. Okay. I think, you see, well, whether or not a man has a job, you see, you can't find a man today and he has a job, right? And tomorrow he doesn't have one, right?
Sure.
The whole thing is that it's not that a woman should find a man and go get a man with a job. You get a man with some with what he can show some sort of stability.
Sure.
You understand? Right. Some sort of stability. Right? Mm-hmm. And I keep saying, women look men not for their children. They look men for themselves. And that's dumb.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because oftentimes, you know, it's always men that you want, not necessarily men for your children.
I understand what you're saying.
Eh?
I understand what you're saying. I understand very well what you're saying.
Right. So they don't look men for their children. So, you know, you want to form domestic union. You have to make sure that the man is in a position to do that.
Yes.
Right? Again, how are you going to get a woman pregnant and she live by people in the yard?
That's what I'm saying. We should be chasing our careers first.
And a woman is pregnant. Where she live? Around her father's yard. Are you serious? You know, or where he live? He live around her mother's yard. No, come on. You know, that's a joke.
Bro, Blue, let's have a little music here. Let's have a little music. Breakfast in bed. Let's just have 2 minutes of
this. Oh, yeah.
So we can,
we can
collect our thoughts. Thank you.
All right.
Radio, do call in on 661-467-2407. You're here with Bro Blue and MHL. Welcome back. Mr. Bro Blue, I think we're going to have a show just to discuss the black family and how we need to basically look at it like a business and how to manage it better, because we need to be stronger, and we're stronger as a family, you know? Yeah. So go ahead, sir. Go ahead. It's your show.
Yeah, man. No, I would say that I think, you see, men and women need to begin to look into themselves, you know, because it's all good and well that you probably say, you're in lust, you know, but the moment you decide that you're going to have some sort of domestic commitment with anybody, you should be equipped for it.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much oftentimes, you know, if you check it out, you know, women go, you know, a lot of our women go with men who are not prepared, but yet still they delve in that department. And I don't think that's correct. That's right. You know, it shouldn't.
So what makes a man prepared?
If you're going to take on something, you must be equipped for it, you know?
Yeah, but yeah, what would make a man prepared for this family life, you know? What are the things? We may have to do that, I don't know, I'm sure. Because sometimes what people need, they need guidance as to what would make a good man and a good woman. So I'm going to just make some notes here on that. So are we ready to discuss the Rastafarians being barred from school? Are we going to look at that?
Yes. There's a school in Portmore. But I think that has been resolved now. But
yes,
I heard that they were barred. A kid, a little baby was barred from school. And I remember in 1974, there was a little kid. There was a little kid from Old Aberdeen called Jabuki Mighton.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his parents were are Rastafarian till today, right? That's their religion. That's their way of life. That's what they believe in.
Yes.
And at the time, the little infant could not find a school, and I remember. Mm-hmm. A principal told this brother to go and cut his ear, and if they cut it, they'll take him. And she said she'd rather die than cutting his ear, and she didn't.
Right.
So she went away, and she went to the Gleaner. And the Gleaner publicized it. And at the time, it was Beverly Manley that was it at Jamaica House, and she saw the kid, and she sent for the little boy. She said, take him up here to Jamaica House Basic School.
Oh, wow.
That's where he went. And, yeah, I think he went there until he was fit enough to go to some other school, you know. So after that, I remember, you know, Rasta start to, you know, get the barriers start coming down. So,
yes.
You know, over the years now, I begin to, you know, I start seeing rastas in schools, and so I thought it was over, all that was resolved.
Yeah, I thought so,
you know,
too.
But to me, it seems like there is some residual hatred for Rastafarians, you know, and that is in the psyche, it's in the psyche of the Jamaican elite.
You know, I think the law needs to be revised. That's the problem. The law is on the book.
I don't think. No, listen. The Constitution needs to be written in such a way to include Jamaicans. Because when that was written, I think it was just written to address the aristocracy, you know.
Right.
I don't think the common man who walk on the street, the common man, is not for you. Jamaica has always been a country with us and them.
Yes, the class system is terrible.
Yes, it was us and them all these years from the inception of the island, from way in 16-something.
And that is why I'm saying they need to go back and revise those laws, because the person that run that school could not have even dreamt of being so horrible. But because the law was there, they could use it. It's in the psyche of the people, and they access that law. So the law itself needs to be changed. Since the psyche won't change, change the law, and that way they can't abuse it again, you know. That's really important.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I too thought it was already, you know, done and dusted, you know, that we are crazy.
Man, I was so disappointed in that.
I'm telling you.
Yeah. I was
did
so disappointed,
know?
Man. I wanted to
did you know I went
in a kind of demonstration.
Did you know I went to a secondary school, a high school in Jamaica with Bob Marley's daughters, and they had locks.
Yeah, but they had locks?
Yeah, man, they had locks.
Okay. And
it's a Catholic high school as well.
Oh, well, I mean, I never expected it. Well, let me tell you something.
I was so shocked about the situation, because I'm thinking, you know, Bob Marley, you know, and everybody progressive, no, this is foolishness. I was really shocked and disappointed.
I never knew that Jamaica was still stuck in the medieval
years. People are wearing their hair
natural.
I know. I mean, the thing is that more people in Jamaica now wearing their hair natural, and not just natural, it actually looks naughty. And it's lovely to see that move. People, you know, wearing bald head and natural hair and all of that. It's fantastic. So when I'm like you, I was so shocked. I couldn't believe it. So, you know, people are still, as you say, the psyche hasn't changed.
You know, if you don't go over here, the fire, you know.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to fire there, you know. They're going to fire.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
They
will. That's blatant cultural discrimination. Yeah, of course.
And
that's cultural discrimination.
Oh, she has one. She should be fired, man. And I don't care who she is or what contribution she's making. She needs to be out of there. Fired.
Can you imagine?
Written out.
I know.
Huh?
From the time the baby was five years old to 7 years old.
She couldn't do that here, no. She could. I don't. You think she could do that here?
No,
in a white country.
No, I don't think so.
She couldn't do that. And she couldn't do that in Britain either.
But that speaks to the class system in Jamaica. It speaks to that she could even consider her mind.
I know, but I never expect that this, you know, this, after, look. You can't imagine what happened, in 1962, 63, I think, 64, somewhere there, Coral Garden, right? Where the prime minister himself at the time, misguided and stupid, chasing down these people who never do anybody anything, chasing them down with guns, beating them up, couldn't do nothing. And if you stretch back a little bit, you go back to Pinnacle.
All the
people wanted in Pinnacle was to live in peace, and they go beat them, burn down the house. For what? For what?
We still have that
residual hatred still there.
Yes.
Man, you know, you don't need people like that among you, man. Believe me.
We don't. But, you know, the mentality needs to be addressed from very early. You know, and take our time and weed them out, because it's so backward, it's so offensive, it's so highly disturbing, I can't even tell you that, you know, and the thing that this was going all over the world, a country that produced Bob Marley and we're doing this. Can you imagine?
That is weird. That is the inception of Rastafari.
Yeah, yeah.
That's where it started.
Boy.
And it seems to me like you can only embrace them when it's commercially fit.
Right. Yes.
Where you look at Bob Marley as well. OM, out of merit.
Could be. I can't remember exactly, but could be. Mm-hmm.
And if you're out there, Bob Marley is Jamaica's frame of reference. If you're out there.
I know.
You know how many places I've gone worldwide? And when you're there, Jamaica, where is that? Bob Marley. Oh! Jamaica is a frame of reference.
As you're speaking, you know, I'm just thinking that...
Bob Marley is a frame of reference to Jamaica.
I know,
And even so, you're going to turn around and hate Rasta?
Listen,
this
principle has brought Jamaica...
Nobody don't know you. Nobody knows you unless you call a Rasta man name.
Listen,
oh, yes, you're going to turn around here, Tim, and be
barred. I know, but the principle has brought Jamaica into disrepute. Single-handedly, this person has done this. Huh? Single-handedly,
the name of Jamaica.
If people are wondering, what is going on? How can Jamaica be rejecting Rasta?
It was an embarrassment.
It's an embarrassment.
Big embarrassment. It was in the Washington Post.
I know, I saw it in the book. That's where I saw it first. I was like, Jamaica, New York, or Jamaica. I was like, this is Jamaica. I was like, no, this could not be my Jamaica. So it's like a national disgrace that just went right round. It overtook coronavirus. That's how bad it was. Nobody remembered COVID-19 when she did this single thing, single-handedly. if we had a gong, like, you know, like, and we could give her a gong. I'm telling you. And this brings us to the whole thing about, is Jamaica really independent?
No. Well, boy, you know, I wonder. Because, you know something, I only think that the only true independent country in the region is Haiti.
And you might be right, you know, because you know, see how they're suffering.
I think that the only true independent country in the region is Haiti, right? Because they ensure that the piece of real estate that they got is theirs.
Yes.
You understand? That is their piece of real estate. I don't think Jamaica can say Jamaica is theirs.
My biggest regret about Haiti is that when Toussaint Louverture, when he trusted those French and went to go and meet with them, after he defeated them, he should have just completely cut them off. But you see, the nature of a black person is to forgive and keep forgiving and trusting. If he had just kept himself away, they would never have killed him and more or less killed the movement, almost killed the movement. You know?
Yeah, but you know, but another thing again is that at the time, you know, I think Jamaica could have followed in its footsteps, you know. And if Jamaica did, I believe that it would have been the whole international pressure that came down on Haiti. You know, it would have been, it wouldn't have been that much if Jamaica fell at the time, all the other Caribbean islands would have gone the same way.
Look at Cuba.
You would have had a truly independent Caribbean. You don't have an independent Caribbean now. First of all, how can you be independent?
What about the Cubans? They're still
you're independent, but your inner state is still a queen. And guess what happened now? What's the national anthem of Jamaica? What's the national anthem?
What are you asking me?
What's the national anthem of Jamaica? Tell me first line.
Eternal Father.
Nah, man.
Really? What's
God save the Queen. God save the Queen. That is actually I said that. So who is in that state? Who are in that state down there?
Yeah, okay.
Who is in that state?
We still have governor generals and those things.
Which governor general? Same watchdog.
We have an anthem. So that is independence, I suppose.
No, look, man. Look, the island is not yours. The piece of real estate is not yours.
She can roll up
a few area jets on the shore and take back.
Listen, it's been recolonized. The Spanish came, then the British came, and now who is down there now?
The Chinese.
One colonizer to the next colonizer. It's on and on. When are we going to stop this foolishness?
No, I tell you again, you know, I've always been of the opinion that after you remember, you know, these white people came and kidnapped us.
Yeah.
Kidnapped us, you know, and brought us away so far, you know, thousands of miles from your house. Right?
The kidnappers and the rapists and the pedophiles. Yes, go on, talk.
Right? Yeah, rapists, pedophiles, homosexuals, all this other stuff. And they brought you so many miles away from your house.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And put you into a torture chamber.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And actually isolate you and gone.
Yeah.
They leave you and gone in isolation. And leave you just to fend for yourself.
It was a definite reason for putting the enslaved outside of Britain. Because if you're outside of the actual UK island, nobody can say, oh, these are the enslavers. Because they put everybody everywhere else and enslave from a distance. They're very clever.
Right.
You never so, live in... Yeah.
So that's what I do. So I believe that you know, the mistake what black people made was when these guys were heading back to Europe, you should have headed back to Africa. Go back.
But the thing is that how can you, they don't have the resource to get back like that. And when
people like
Marcus Garvey tried to go back to Africa, then they did a deal on him, man. So it's like they don't want us to be with them, but they don't want us to leave them.
Look, man, a lot of black people went to America, you know, a lot of black people, especially out of Brazil.
Right,
Brazil, a lot of black people, even to this date, even to date, you find that you have Brazilian going back to Africa to look for them people. As long as you remain in this torture chamber here, your life is going to be in misery. As long as you're in the torture chamber and white supremacy is still the mission statement on people, your life is going to be in a serious hell. But
there are people now leaving the U.S. and Britain to go to live in Ghana and other places.
I know that.
Us their lifestyles in Africa, because a lot of people think Africa is just coconut tree and some banana tree and some dirt.
Look here, let me tell you something. A lot of misconceptions these people gave you. These people gave you a lot of misconceptions that Africa is far away. Oh, Africa is so far away from you. It's going to take you so far to go. Because guess what? You have to fly to London. That is 8 hours.
Yeah.
And you have to sit down and eat through for another 8 hours. Then you fly another 8 again. So by the time you reach Africa, you're tired. And so, you know, all you have to do is go to Barbados.
Yes.
And it takes you 3.5 to 4 hours to get into Ghana.
Wow, I didn't know that.
That's all. That is all. But they trick us. Yeah, they tell us all kind of rubbish. Africa is far away. You can actually own a trading route with Africa right now. And Caribbean people can do that.
So we don't have to fly through Heathrow.
You don't have to go to Europe. You don't have to go there. Just fly from Barbados. That's where all the slaves used to come. The slaves used to come to Barbados, you know.
Yeah.
That's the point of distribution. When the boat lands, it's like a Barbados.
Well, I'm very excited about this reconnecting to our roots, you know. Back to the motherland.
So all you have to do is open a trade route. Open a route. Right? Barbados is a hub. Bam. Straight into Barbados.
You know,
Barbados is sitting right there between the Atlantic and the Caribbean. It's a country down there that sits right in the two waters, you know.
But you know, Barbados is
in one side is in the Atlantic and the other side in the Caribbean Sea.
Caribbean Sea.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Barbados is known as Little England anyway. You know that. So when you go there,
and let me tell you something. That piece of real estate, Britain's going to want to hold on to it. And I know why, because it is a strategic route between the Caribbean and Africa.
Is,
and these people don't, these crypto, cryptocracy, they don't want to let go of that.
You blame them? You don't blame them.
The cryptomaniacs. Yeah.
You mind them lock you up, you know. Anyway, so this is fantastic. I'm really enjoying this, you know. So you're on the, you're listening to us here on the Caribbean Radio Show, on the CRS Radio. Listening to Bro Blue and MHL. You can call in. We still have another 10 minutes on 661-467-2407. A big shout out to Dr. Ev. Hope you're well.
Yeah, man. Where Dr. Ev? Hello, Ev. Rudy.
Busy lady. So I want to thank her for allowing us to be here to share this time and to just chit chat.
So the independence is the people that jump up and ding down in Jamaica. That's a mockery. You know, I wouldn't want to go into that circus because I know those two people that talk about they got independence for us. That's not true. Why you never insist to the people, say to them, listen, we want the land.
Yeah.
We want the land. We want to own the country.
Yes.
We want the land. Right? Sign off. And sign it, certificate, declaration of total independence. As far as I'm concerned, Jamaica is just an autonomous state. That's all it is.
Right, right.
It's an autonomous state, you know. You're independent, but you have a governor general. Eh? Oh, you're independent. Are you a governor general, eh?
You don't want to cut the navel string and want to have that sense of
You still have this man walk around with his racist insignia upon him chest.
Oh, gosh, I'm telling you.
Walk around with that insignia upon him chest, a white man stand up, have him foot upon a black man's neck, I say, I'm a slayer the evil.
Yeah.
Right? I have something to do with it. What kind of crazy thing that?
Yes, It is.
That's very embarrassing.
Fortunately, we've found out and we've done some work on that, getting rid of these images.
Whether or not you take off the sign,
yeah,
it not mean say your address change. If a man even take off a gate number. BM, pick up the 13. Don't pick it up. It look unlucky. You still live at 13.
But you know, image is very important.
Take off the whole of the uniform and change out and lock down that and leave it. That's what you must do.
But then somebody would have lost their job and their money. But you know.
So who cares? That's not a job.
Listen, images are important.
That's not a job. That's a mockery. Your own self. Your black person, you say up there, wear an insignia. What racist insignia. And you, how come they never know?
It's because
they get conscious after George Floyd and they say, wait, the Christian check all of them institutions and say, oh, racist them is.
We cannot downplay the importance of what imagery does and what it means to people. Did you know that somebody brought down the statue of Haile Selassie? Mash it up.
Where?
I think right here in the UK. I'm going to check and find and let you know. So, you see, images are important. This is why they show us certain things to program the mind. So, we have to kind of deprogram. So, even if you just remove an image, it's a step towards the whole deprogramming of the people's minds. You understand?
Jesus used to be, the image of Jesus used to be Middle Eastern. It was black.
Black African.
Hold on. It was black till 1947. When they gave this guy, this artist.
To
draw. No, man, this guy. I forgot about it again. I have the article. They gave him the Jesus to draw, and him whitened Jesus and ever since, you know, because remember, you know. White supremacy set about to whiten the world, you know.
Yes.
So everything, all your history is white. Everything, you know. That's why the only thing I want from the school is math and English, is mathematics and science. Because, you know, but even that them set about for white, because I'm telling you, they tell about Sir Isaac Newton, they never tell you nothing about African yet.
Yeah,
invest,
Yeah, Imhotep was the, you know, was the
blue,
the
yeah, the blue yard man that we have in your book, I worship. I we have for your wall there. I worship the big grass there. Him coming at the lexicon in the 1947.
It's part
right?
of the whole plagiarism,
so,
you know. They plagiarize everything to the point of
but
making
I know
it.
I know that.
Yeah. That's plagiarism.
But listen though. Now, it's embarrassing to see a man go to a store, right? And go buy. No, by the way, the question I really, really, really want to ask. Who black people use the worship before they get a blue eye man there?
They worship the true living God. Some of them worship.
What do you look like? What the image they used to look for?
It was an African
what
man.
What image them go look for? Let me say this now. Hold on.
But I'm answering. Listen, I'm answering the question. The thing is, if you go into Russia and have a look at the original God and the Virgin Mother, they're all black. So the Russians know, but we in the Caribbean don't know. Some people. People are waking up, though. People are waking up. A lot of people are aware. People are, you know, more assured about their history. What was stolen and plagiarized and misrepresented, people are known. The majority of people are aware of what it is. And that's another topic again. Another big topic
to
be explored.
Well, let me tell you something. Yeah, we have about 3 minutes to go. But when you look the other day, it's one of them African countries. You see, they see the blue eyed Jesus with a blonde hair. Turn up somewhere.
I remember. And then beat him and lock him up.
Yeah, well, them should have beat Jesus. Them should have beat him.
They did whip him and they did brutalize him. If you look at the life of Jesus, it mimics
them
the life
beat,
of a person.
Them who whip him?
Whip him. Listen, the way how they treated him. The way how he was treated is exactly how they treat black people. This is why, you know, you had to be black, because his lived experience on this earth was just like a black man now. Yeah? So there's no contradictions there, as far as I'm aware.
We have to continue this again next week.
Next week, yes, it's wonderful.
Yeah, I think, right, you know, so. but, yeah, we have to talk this again. We have to continue this. That we can get some participation in this, because I would like to hear other people's perspective. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah,
definitely.
Right. You know, so yeah, man, and thanks for coming and so forth if you're listening. You know, have a good Saturday evening and take care. Walk good. Bye bye.
Yes. Thank you very much for joining. God bless everybody. Let's end with the rest of the music, Breakfast in Bed. Have a wonderful weekend. Yes. And enjoy.